Senate Bill 509, establishing telecommunication division in the Department of Commerce, making our development, transferring telecommunications and data processing functions to those divisions, and changing the name of the department to the Department of Commerce, Economic Development, and Telecommunications. And the first person to testify to give us a detailed explanation is Senator Ferguson. Senator Ferguson, you have the floor.
Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 509, as the committee well knows, is the reorganization of telecommunications to consolidate all aspects of services. We met with the administration, and the major objection that they had to the bill was the addition of data processing into the bill. Therefore, the committee substitute, which deletes data processing and tightens up the bill and aims a little more towards instructional TV, Alaska Public Broadcasting, or public broadcasting. At this time, Mr. Chairman, I request to the committee that I have our staff people, Nancy Harvey and Stu Brown, come up to the committee and we can go into detail into the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Perdillo.
Do we have a sectional analysis on this?
Mr. Chairman, yes, you do. That was provided earlier. The only thing that would be changed now, I believe, would be the deletion of data processing and some additional language.
Thank you very much.
The other thing, Mr. Chairman, that we'll discuss also is the possibility of a letter of intent for the substitute for Senate Bill 509 that should accompany the bill that would go into more explicit detail as to what we'd expect to take place.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Stuart Brown. I'm a technical consultant for the Special Committee on Telecommunications. The major goal of the committee substitute for 509 is to aggregate all the state's telecommunications activities into one agency and to provide a focus for future development. Currently, telecommunications responsibility is spread between the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, Divisions of Communications, Divisions of Planning and Research, with the Alaska Public Broadcast Commission, to a certain degree to the Division of Data Processing, who has a certain amount of telecommunications responsibility, and several other agencies. In this bill pulls these agencies together and provides for the first time essentially a management agency to look at the state's long-range requirements for administrative purposes of telecommunications for state agencies, for the development and fostering of public broadcasting in Alaska, as well as instructional, educational telecommunications utilization, and for the first time, health, medical, and emergency telecommunications service requirements. Two telecommunications divisions are established in the Department of Commerce and Economic Development. The first being the Public Telecommunications Services Division, which is a division staffed with individuals who are familiar with the requirements of the educational instructional community, the public broadcasting community, and health, medical, and emergency communication services needs. Essentially, this division is a non-technical division. This division would assist using user agencies in developing the conceptual idea of their requests as to using telecommunications as an alternative means of delivering services. This division would be advised by a public telecommunications advisory board. This public telecommunications advisory board would essentially replace the Alaska Public Broadcasting Commission. And this board would consist of 9 members. The board would be appointed by the using agencies, in essence, spelled out in the bill here. We would be, the Public Telecommunications Advisory Board would be made up of individuals from the Board of Regents, and here it's spelled out here. 2 members appointed by the State Board of Education, one of whom shall also be a member of a local school board. 2 members appointed by the Board of Regents of the University of Alaska, including a member of one of the policy advisory councils of the university. 2 members appointed by the Commissioner of the Department of Health and Social Services, including one member from the Advisory Council on Emergency Medical Services. 3 members who are employees, officers, or directors of public nonprofit broadcasting stations, and they would be appointed by a vote of the public broadcast licensees. So essentially, we've got a advisory board made up of users of telecommunications in the broad sense, not just public broadcasting. The second division is called the Telecommunications Systems Division. This division is essentially the existing Division of Communications now under the Department of Transportation. The responsibilities for engineering and technical management of telecommunication systems used by the state of Alaska would be the responsibility of this division. Currently, some of these engineering functions are in the Alaska Public Broadcast Commission staff. They would be transferred over, and so for once we would have a consistent technical management team to provide for long-range planning of systems development and a coherent procurement plan for developing telecommunications facilities within the state.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Hackett?
Yes, how many of the positions that are shown, there are some 59 positions there, how many of those are new positions?
I think we have 19 new positions. Now the reason there are 19 new positions, because we've added a new division called Public Service Telecommunications Division, and essentially we picked up some additional staff for a new deputy director in the Department of Commerce. That's where the lion's share of new additions come. There's some additional electronic technicians that were added because the current Division of Communications is understaffed to provide for the a new loading because of the television demonstration project which they took over last July. So essentially, we've added some telecommunications coordinators that don't exist now, 6 of those people, to coordinate with the various using agencies on developing telecommunications utilization plans. And we've added some people to support the new deputy commissioner.
Those are essentially administrative positions, though, all of them. They're not field-type positions.
I would say that the telecommunications coordinators are more field-type positions in that they will be directly working with agencies and public institutions who require the services of the new division. The additional electronic techs, of course, would be field positions, whereas the technologist, economist, budget analyst, et cetera, under the deputy director would be administrative.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ray?
I just have some technical questions here that we might answer for me. On page 3, line 15, the deputy commissioner is going to be appointed by the commissioner. that consistent with the policy of the administration?
Bad policy.
Maybe the governor would like to appoint him rather than the commissioner.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ferguson.
I think Senator Ray is correct in this matter, and I would request that the committee so move for amendment.
Now on page 4, Mr. Chairman. Now, is it my understanding that on line 5 with the legislative branch, communications will be under the control, their telecommunications will be under control of this telecommunications division?
Stu, can you answer that, please?
Well, essentially, the new divisions would provide technical and consulting assistance to all branches of government. Right now, the legislative affairs people go to either the Division of Data Processing for their for consulting as far as computer processing goes, or they may go to the Division of Communications in Anchorage for that type of consulting and technical assistance. Now, it's envisioned that a number of existing and separate telecommunications networks can exist in harmony and serve various branches of government without duplicating facilities. In essence, we're saying that the control of the networks that would be developed or combined by the new divisions would be with the using agencies. In essence, the legislative teleconferencing facility would still be operated, maintained, or operated by operators.
What are you saying? You know,
well, I'm saying
get confused.
Okay, you have, let's say you have
the legislature come under this. Is it managed by? Is it run by? After do we make our own decisions? Excuse me, Senator Ray, but I'm getting old. Yes,
that's what I ask. The same question.
Well, we provide, there are two areas here. Yes, the legislative branch would use this new agency for consulting services. Telecommunications facilities would be procured by this agency.
What's different for the present?
Well, right now, every agency goes out and buys its own facility from common carriers and the telephone companies. Under this bill, the Division of Telecommunication Systems would be the major facility procurement agency. They would provide for bulk transmission time. The user agencies would come to this new agency and say, we need this amount of network development. They would provide that to you.
Mm-hmm. Senator Holman, then Senator Hatton.
I haven't finished yet.
Senator Ray,
proceed. On the same page in line 16, you're going to plan, design, construct, and manage for all state agencies. Is this inclusive? Is the legislator, is the legislative branch considered a state agency? Line 16, page 4.
Yes. Well, no, we're thinking of state line agencies.
Well, whatever you're thinking about is not necessarily what's written here.
Mr. Chairman, question along that same line, if I might, Senator Ray. Would you consider the University of Alaska then a line agency in that case?
No, but in developing this language, we have worked with the university, and they are very supportive of a coherent procurement plan that would allow for communication systems to development that would be cost effective for them. Right now, one of the limiting factors is that every agency has gone out and procured its own services haphazardly, and thus the costs are not controlled and management of the system is not controlled. So the intent of this is not to control use, it's to control the technical systems development to make it more cost effective and easier to manage for state agencies.
I wonder if I wonder if we should change it from state agencies to make a dividing point, make it the proper language executive agencies rather than state agencies. That way you'll be in compliance with five, which provides the only technical and consulting assistance. Otherwise, if you'll be planted in here, planning our state agency, well, then maybe in the back you should put in the definition section, and state agencies for the purpose of this chapter are those branches of the executive and do not consist of the judicial or the rest of it.
Go ahead.
Again, here on page 5, line 18, you enter into contracts and subcontracts on behalf of the state. Again, you can enter into the contracts on behalf of the state. Now, are you talking about all three branches of the state will be under the executive branch? Or are you talking about just the state executive? Some way you're going to have to make a determination there again. On page 6, line 8, here you have the director appointed by the deputy commissioner. I would imagine the commissioner would have the ruling over who would be appointed rather than the deputy commissioner. Page 7, line 5. The division may not control or be responsible for the program content or policy of public broadcasters, except that grants or technical assistance may not be given to a broadcaster who is in violation of federal or state laws or regulations. Public broadcasters, again, you might have to put in a definition in the back to explain exactly what you mean by public broadcasters.
Senator, we do have a definition. On page 10,
this is the first time I've seen this, and we're just going through it, so okay. I don't know.
We do have a definition for public broadcasting, and that means the delivery of radio or television non-commercial programming intended for the general public by any method of telecommunication.
Then again, you're getting the legislature mixed up in here again, right?
Well, essentially, there are two areas where we're dealing with. We're dealing with applications of the technology, and then facilities procurement of systems to provide for those applications. And we, through analysis, it appears that many of the applications are required by various agencies. The systems used to provide for those applications are duplicated, when good technological management says that you don't have to duplicate them.
Well, I think that again, that bears looking into again as far as the legislature is concerned.
What part's under it?
Subsection E.
Okay.
And go on to page 9, line 16. Here again, you got the deputy commissioner appointing a director. Line 20. Again, you have plan, design, construct, manage, and operate all telecommunications systems owned or leased by the state. Now here again you have the problem again of whether the executive or the judiciary or the legislative, which is three separate branches. I think that this is a cursory look at it, Mr. Chairman. Those are some of the things that possibly are technical problems that you might have, and there was one or two policy problems in there also.
Senator Holman?
I had a question along Senator Ray's first concern. That is, I was wondering if Mr. Turner would like to make response to some of those concerns. Do you think that this bill, as it's written, is in the best interest of our media center or the telecommunications operation?
Mr. Charney, do you care to respond?
Sorry, I didn't hear the question. Couldn't hear back there.
From the standpoint of the legislature, sort of pursuing Senator Ray's concerns, is this bill best from our standpoint?
Mr. Chairman, I was here today to bring the same comments to Senator Randall bring up. I think maybe in the long run, it might be advantageous, but I think in the short run, that there ought to be plans for the legislature to go into this plan voluntarily in the future after the new organization has established itself, has proven itself on record. I noticed even one of the points there that it has responsibilities for was to manage the centrics and other telephone-related services in the state. So if you're getting him into, when we get into session where a legislator wants a particular phone right now, and we try to pressure and get accomplished right now, under a new division, it could even go extreme where you have all the bureaucratic red tape and executive branch that we now have to go through in other areas. And I just think it would be horrendous. I think if they do get established, prove themselves out, maybe at some future date, legislature can take a look at it and go into voluntarily. I think it's too early at this stage to require the legislature to go for the teleconferencing system, for the data processing communication lines, telephone ordering, and so forth.
Agreed, okay, Senator Hackman, that's under something.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Brown, with whom did you talk at the University of Alaska?
Ms. Jane Demrett, who's an assistant to the president. They also have Walt Parker, who's been retained as a consultant and has developed with the university and the Department of Education under Senate Concurrent Resolution 35 a development plan for utilization of telecommunications delivered educational services.
And how would you see that operation then interfacing with this new division?
Well, the new divisions, there's two of them, the public service division would essentially coordinate the requests of the university in developing services. Okay, the university would come up with the idea, they would come up with what their intended application was. They would come to the Public Service Telecommunications Division and more or less bounce their ideas off to see what was feasible, what was within cost limits, etc. Then the Public Service Division would talk to the telecommunications systems people to get a clear understanding of what it takes technically to provide for the services requested by the university. Then the divisions working somewhat together would come back to the university with a total proposal, with a total development plan and a cost plan.
Would they be required to accept that plan?
No, they would not.
So this is only advisory, is that what you're saying to the university?
Senator Sumner?
One more question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Hackman, go ahead.
Also on page 4, line 9, reads to apply for, section 9, apply for and accept federal and private money, property, or assistance. What does that language mean?
Well, essentially, there are a number of grants programs available for telecommunications systems development, whether it be for educational telecommunications systems, health systems, or public broadcasting. And that means that the divisions would have the opportunity to apply for and accept federal or private money and assistance to develop telecommunications for state agencies, university, public broadcast stations.
Who does that now?
Well, that's spread out. Currently, for instance, the Alaska Public Broadcast Commission, they, for instance, could go to the National Telecommunications Information Agency, which is in the Department of Commerce, and ask for a planning grant for that agency. A public broadcasting station now, and under this bill, would continue to exercise local control. And so if they wanted to talk to NTIA for a grant, they would be able to do so. But this agency would in essence go out and look for available federal monies in particular, and provide that information to the, let's say, the Department of Education, and the DOE would then go after the grant itself. So in essence, then the DOE would get the direct grant from NIE, and they would control the purse strings, and they came to this agency with their plan to develop educational telecommunications facilities. This agency would help them specify what's required. DOE would have a total cost picture involved. They would RSA the money over to these agencies, and these agencies would assist in the development of that aspect of their plan.
That's what the grants administrator is for in the...
That's essentially to assist the public broadcast stations in obtaining grants for station facilities.
Does it do any more than what we presently have through a number of different agencies?
Yes, it does. It provides for an expanded view. Right now, like the Public Broadcasting Commission essentially goes after grants to develop broadcasting, non-commercial broadcasting facilities. Nobody right now is going after anything for healthcare, telemedicine. So this would be provided here also. And this would be a means for other state agencies who no one knows if they have a recognized need or not to develop telecommunications facilities. This would allow a sort of a coordinating function to go after monies where they're available. But right now it would go beyond let's say what the Alaska Public Broadcast Commission does.
But no, I'm talking about in terms of specific powers. They all have that existing power. You're just putting it into one.
Yes, sir.
One agency. Okay. Senator Sumner?
Is the intent for this bill to be essentially mandatory for the state administration and optional for the other branches of government? How does it affect municipalities or private sector communication people?
Well, it should positively affect them in that currently there's so many different voices that deal with the communications industry here in Alaska. For instance, there have been a number of cases where duplicative orders have come into, let's say, Alascom for services. Confusion existed, it had to be cleared up. The impact here essentially would be that for once there would be a central agency that procured all services from the communications industry. The impact on municipalities, I think, would be positively improved in the sense that the municipalities and the citizens of those municipalities would have a larger opportunity to communicate with the government and through increased efficiencies in the systems that are utilized by government.
Okay, when you talk about plan, design, construct, is that again limited to state administration? That doesn't involve Anchorage, Fairbanks?
Not the municipality systems, no. No, we're talking about state government
okay,
here.
Okay, and they aren't adversely affected in any way or under any circumstances in this bill? And these are the private sector.
Can I agree with that? That's it.
Yes, sir.
There has been strong opposition from private telephone companies to this. So somebody's...
That's why I'm trying to... Yeah.
Senator Bennett?
I have some apprehensions on page 9, line 20 here.
Page 9, line 20.
Put it in here. It says, plan, design, construct, manage, and operate all telecommunication system owned or leased by... I just don't see any room for the private sector in there.
Sir, this language is essentially operational now in the Department of Transportation, in the Division of Communications. They plan, they design, they construct, they manage and operate all telecommunications owned or leased by the state. Now, what this says and what the intent is, that we're not going to compete with the communications industry. What we want to do is provide for a management force within state government to effectuate a greater ability to manage our telecommunications resources that we lease from the common carriers.
I would, Mr. Chairman, I would be willing to make a wager that if this, as I read it here anyway, interpreted here, comes through, it's only a matter of another legislature that there'll be huge appropriations to go into this agency to construct and to get directly involved competing with Bendix, RCA, and the rest of them.
Well, currently, the Division of Communications does construct communications facilities. They've constructed the Kenai Translator Network, bringing television now to the Kenai Peninsula. They've constructed a number of public safety communications networks. They also construct facilities for the Alaska State Troopers and the Department of Transportation, Marine Highway System.
But what I'm saying, my friend, is there's nowhere in here that gives an edge anywhere to the private sector. This, to me, I would read it, maybe I misinterpreted it, but I read this as a total lockout.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Ferguson?
We have in the letter of intent, hopefully, to spell out some of that. We can bring back to you a proposed a change that would be locked into law. We originally had not wanted to do this in order to provide for the time that the private sector would not be able to construct or maintain something that would be uneconomical to them but still in the best interest of the citizens of the state. But we can pose to the committee language that could fit into this.
Okay, let me get it clear. Senator Bennett, your concern is that you don't want to see the present method by which DOT does go out to construct. You prefer to see it contracted to private contractors, construction people?
My philosophy, Mr. Chairman, is basically I want the private sector to have input at every opportunity. And in reading this language, I just see it being edged out further and further.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Curtula.
I suspect maybe it means that those those times in which the private sector might perform, not sure. Competitively, that's the times he's speaking to, and I'd hope that would be the case. There are many cases in which that wouldn't be a factor, and we wouldn't want to invent something that was twice as costly for those purposes. I'd like to ask some questions when Senator Bennett or whoever else has raised their hands or not.
Mr. Chairman, may I point out on page 5, line 10, section 14, there's specific language that page 5, line 10, section 14.
Chairman, what does when feasible mean?
Are you, which bill are they looking at?
We had the committee substitute, is that the one?
You mean to the maximum feasible extent?
Well, on in section 14, on page 5,
my language says contract with common carriers or private enterprise one of the best interests of the state for construction, operation, and maintenance of telecommunication systems and development procurement policy.
Are we reading off two different sets of music here?
That's what I think. What I'm wondering.
Can we substitute Senate Bill 509? CS.
Do you have the draft copies?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think I've got the draft copies.
I'm going
off
the draft copy.
4321
You can't be. Did you follow all the 9 minutes?
Should have the
copies. When you get down to page
half the
page, what was the page you had?
Page
5.
5 on line 14, it starts out the telecommunications division may coordinate with their functions with local, regional, state, and federal officials. This reminds me.
Well, page 5 here, line 10, section 14 is what I'm referring to, and that's discussing contract with common carriers and private enterprise.
That's line 10.
Mm-hmm.
when it's convenient, I need to get back to just one final question that I need.
Did you get any red packet?
I have one of the.
Go ahead, Senator Sumner.
Generally, I'm concerned about the, where the opposition is, as Senator Kutula referred to a minute. There is some private sector opposition. Do you know why?
Well, certainly, sir. The number one, the private sector, and we're basically, you're referring to the local telephone companies and Alascom, I believe. Although there's been positive testimony in the House regarding the competitive side of private industry and its effects on the availability and affordability of communications in Alaska. Essentially, that's what we're concerned with here. What effect would, for instance, a procurement policy that these agencies develop have on the rate base in Alaska?
I guess I'm not following you. If you can tell me, just almost, you know, straight on, gut level sort of things, why are they opposed to it? It means money to them or control, one or the other?
Both, I believe. Now, for instance, in Anchorage, there are 35 different telephone systems owned or leased by state agencies from at least three or four different vendors of telecommunications services, including Anchorage Telephone Utility.
Just a second. 35?
35 different telephone systems owned or leased by state agencies.
Give me an example of a system.
A key system for, like in your office, or up to a major Centrex system, or a PBX, a big switch. There are several different large switches. Public safety has one.
Leased from?
Some are leased from Anchorage Telephone Utility. Some are purchased from private interconnect vendors of telecommunications equipment.
Is
Alascom? Okay. Alascom does not provide local switching equipment. All they provide is long line service.
Okay. Go ahead. Continue along with the specifics.
I'm trying to determine then why it's necessary to include or be as far ranging as we are. I don't mind, and I think it's a great idea from what I can understand, if it's intended primarily to serve the administrative branch of government. My bias at the moment is to limit it there and not at the moment go any further beyond that. So, and I'm not qualified in many areas to try to pursue it technically beyond that point, but that's where I want to stop it.
Let me continue along with his question. What are the specific things that you see why Alaskan and local telephone companies are opposed to it?
Well, I think there are two major areas here, and Senator Sumner addressed them. That is, for once, the state would be coming to the carriers in the communications industry with a cohesive plan for development. Right now, it's in the best interest of the common carriers and the local telephone companies to have the state not organized, because they get a essentially the state is because of its disorganization, is procuring services in a haphazard manner, duplicating services, and there is essentially no cost control whatsoever. In fact, from that telephone senator, I can call to Hong Kong, and nobody would ever know who made that phone call. There is no control on any of the telephone systems in the state as far as utilization. There's a lot of people that in state government that use the state telephone system for their own personal private use, and there's no accounting for that. So essentially what we're saying is we're trying to develop a managing agency for state agencies, twofold. One for administrative telephone and data communication services, bulk buys, procurement from common carriers that are cost effective, and a public services telecommunications division that will assist using agencies in developing new methods for bringing their, essentially the programs they have, out to their constituencies.
Okay, those reasons are basically down to one of potentially less revenue to existing people. Is there any other reason other than that? Is there a control?
The communications industry is concerned with the state government pulling out of the current rate base in which Alascom and then the local telephone companies receive rate subsidies from AT&T in the lower 48. And there's been no study by either the communications industry and specifically the common carriers on what that effect might be. And there's been no study by any of the state agencies regarding that. So that's sort of a gray area that there's concern about, but nobody has come up with any facts or figures proving it one way or the other.
How would this bill change that, though?
Well, for once, we'd have an agency that we could look at the impact.
Okay.
Senator Ed?
Is it a fair statement that the where it is presently, it's specifically on the planning and the communications facilities, the studies and plans are in DOT, and they are less than number one priority, and what we're trying to do is prioritize telecommunications, put them into a feasible operating stance rather than to just be a part of another system. Is that about right?
I would say that telecommunications is a low priority at DOT.
There's another technical.
It's expensive.
Another very minor technical amendment here on page 3, line 23. If you're going to include the judiciary and the University of Alaska, if you're going to be control on them, you better make an annual report to them, too. Let them know what you're doing.
By, say again, Bill?
That's on line 23, page 3. Not only make a report to the governor and the legislature, but put the judiciary in there, maybe the University of Alaska also will get an annual report. If you're going to be controlling them, you should know what you're talking about.
Senator Sumner?
When you talk about making making personal calls on state telephones, I do it. And we have a plan or a policy where those are repaid. Doesn't the administration have that same sort of thing?
Well, it probably depends upon the individual department and division. However, that's not very good practice in terms of technical management because there are phones, all over the office buildings that anybody can walk up to and utilize. Telephone technology has become very, very sophisticated today, Senator. And major corporations, for instance, and the state of California, other major state agencies elsewhere, use a control method on who may access through the telephone system.
Okay, so your control wouldn't stop somebody from doing it. It would just point the responsibility back
sure.
to that person.
It would provide
a
cost detail recording of who made the telephone call and where it went, and then it would go back to the division, and they can analyze their own telephone bill. Currently, there's no controls.
Funny. For the past month, 2 months, we've gotten our new credit cards, and I've used mine a couple of times. And I just found out last night that I had the digits wrong. So all this time, I was looking at
it. Yeah, you've been charging on mine.
Currently, there's no control.
That's funny. For the past month, 2 months, we've gotten our new credit cards. And I've used mine a couple of times. And I just found out last night that I had the digits wrong. So all this time, so I was looking at it.
Yeah, you've been charging on mine.
It's supposed to be 0602, and I've been putting 0206.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah.
Say it again.
Senator Kutula.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ray.
We got a very short time here, and I would suggest or even make the motion that we have these people go out and bring back
when do you think you'd have it accomplished?
Something.
Mr. Chairman, we can have it done in a very short time.
Give me a time so I can set up.
You want it today or do you want it tomorrow?
No, not today.
We can have it done any time that you request this week.
That was the end of my proposal.
We'll continue. Do I set to Ray?
The end of my proposal was eliminating, as far as I'm concerned, eliminating the legislative branch from this.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Right. Senator Cotulla?
I was going to say, unless we eliminate the legislative and judicial branches and any implications, I certainly think they ought to be members of the advisory board. They ought to be represented there one way or the other. I think that's very important, looking over your group of advisory board members, be completely ignored unless you have that amount of input. So I think you ought to represent any of this user so-called groups. And they still want somebody on, fine with me, fine by the governor or anybody else, but it ought to be somebody that represents you, as long as you're going with that philosophy. Finally, Mr. Chairman, my little bit of a problem is, one, I certainly think that removing some of the DOT's responsibilities and putting them under coordinated departments, good idea, because they have too much to do. But finally, you know, Walt Parker and some of these people are the ones that invented us the DOT too, which isn't working very well. So I sure hope we have a real good look at the final output after their recommendations. It isn't that they aren't bright people, it's just that they sell us something that hasn't been thoroughly tested or tried.
Well, that's not sure he was on that side. We went back and forth for damn many times with get to
it. It was tried, this whole DOT system was tried at the University of Warsaw and wasn't good.
But here again,
I forget what side he was on. I think of going back and forth so much.
He was on the side of DOT until he finally was going to be commissioner, probably. I don't know.
House Bill 948, appropriate $900,000 to the Department of Transportation for completion of construction of the Sanetosham hatchery. Problem being that cost estimates were far in excess of the amount that was funded in the bond authorization 1978. As I indicated to me last week, as we were checking this out, we found also that this doesn't come out right. 6, 7, 1655. Okay, that on the clear hatchery, there had been $905,000 allocated from the clear bond, I think it was past 1976. And the estimated cost of it is now $1.3 million. The Department of Fish and Game had planned to reallocate funds from other bond projects, but a recent Attorney General's opinion has stated that this cannot be done, primarily because they were appropriations or they're specified out in the bond issue. They knew they couldn't do that. So we need another $750,000 for the clear hatchery also. And that's as a result of cost estimates from 1976. Any question?
Mr. Chairman, the total is?
$900,000.
Plus 7.
And, 1650.
Will they be, Mr. Chairman?
1650. Thank you. Motion? Discussion?
Make a motion to bill be passed out to individual recommendations.
Is there an objection? Without objection. It's a CS.
John, will they start in on the clear hatchery this year now, or what's the
story? Yeah, they just put out the bids, asked for bids about 3 weeks ago, I think.
Was that 2 years or 3 years? bond issue. Was it the last bond issue?
7-6.
Yeah. We got the inflationary factor and all those bond issues that hadn't been put out.
20%.
Just.
Yeah, they must. There's another one kicking around here for corrections, that is $6 million over. House Bill 950 amended, we'll try that one more time.
Mr. Chairman, the mayor will come testify if he's not here. I think he just didn't have the bill as to be in front of the camera this morning. And we've heard, I think, unless there's other people to testify, I think we've heard what we need to hear on it. I'd move and ask unanimous consent that we move it out for the individual recommendations.
Is there an objection? No objection.
I think when the interest rate, Mr. Chairman, goes up for bonds to 20% or something, though, we're just going to have to cut it off. We can't pay those terrible payments.
Just went down.
Billing, that was
this
up billing here.
Supplemental. Just like the next week when it's a supplemental.
We take this one out of payments. It's coming up.
Oh, it does have here. So we have both of them.
Mr. Chairman? What's the possibility of thinking of a legislative intent that are on the Finance Committee saying that, you know, that if the interest rates hit a certain area that we're not going to be putting in the bond differential funds? They claim that there's a precedent, it's been done before, but we've got to watch for that.
This is for stuff already scheduled, I think.
Certain stage of interest rate, we'd want to pick up that difference.
This is already obligated.
Yeah, this is.
Have you read the letter of intent that came over from the House?
Everybody wants to know where the $900 million went, we can tell you. The appetites of our constituencies. Very easy.
There's a letter of intent that was written. Whatever the committee wants to. Okay. Senator Bennett, you have Senate Bill 377.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate Bill 377 basically would allow for the establishment of the Transportation Safety Commission within the Department of Public Safety. Where Mr. Smith is here.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Charlie Smith, Director of Highway Safety with the Department of Public Safety. And I'm here to answer any questions the committee may have on 377.
Ray Coletta and Gertrude. What's it do?
Wants to know what it does.
Mr. Chairman, the bill establishes a commission to coordinate the various aspects of highway safety, such as the legislative things that have to be done with such things as drunk driving, and works with all aspects of the transportation safety in the state of Alaska. And mainly, it's a coordinating committee. It brings in the commissioners of some of the departments that we have to work with, some of the legislative members, and members of the public at large also.
What's the need for it over the existing structure?
Okay, we have, a lot of times we have problems where we have to cross departmental lines or into other divisions and other departments. And we do have problems at times in getting the best cooperation that we should have. And we feel by having this committee that we could talk directly to the various commissioners or whatever, bringing out the problems that we're having and hopefully get you know, better support for the programs that we're trying to have.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Ray.
There's a duplication of effort with two or three of the agencies, and we have found it in the past that some of them are duplicating what the other agencies are doing in order for them to provide some kind of a communications link between all of them so that they can direct all the efforts of all the agencies toward one goal. You provide this umbrella, and that's what it is.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Curtillo.
I don't know if it's a spokesman on behalf, but I see that Helen Byrne, Department of Health Social Services, has a note in support of it. She says, we are pleased to be included as a member of the commission, et cetera. EMT and some of these other things, drug abuse and so on, as related to highway safety, is their problem. I just wanted to note that because I'd run into it here in the file.
Mr. Chairman. Senator Sumner.
Will this have anything to do with determining how the regulations are interpreted or written? Will this commission be involved in that category at all?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Sumner, they will be involved in that. We had a committee that was appointed by the governor in 1975 called the AS-28 Revision Committee, and they were very active in revising the motor vehicle laws and regulations.
One of the things that concerns me when we switch this type of responsibility is what it does to the public. Of several instances I know, when the Department of Public Safety took over the enforcement, I'm not sure if I can use the correct terminology, but took over the enforcement of the highway safety as it relates to trucks and that sort of thing. They interpreted regulations differently than the previous department using that. And some guy had been running a truck hauler for 20 years, all of a sudden couldn't run that unit anymore. I'm wondering, you know, and we've talked about this. I think the Department of Public Safety has some understanding of that problem. Not looking for a resolution of that situation here, but I am concerned that something like that doesn't happen again.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Senator, I believe that by having this committee, we can avoid these problems even more than in the past. We'll have more input. Before, it was one or two people making that decision unilaterally, whereas now we'll have a lot more input as to what we should have, how we should interpret those regulations. And I think that'll resolve a lot of those problems. I was involved when that particular situation occurred.
Okay, thank you very much.
Senator Holman.
Mr. Chairman, I have an idea for an amendment that I haven't fully worked out in my own thinking. I'd like to suggest we hold this until I have a chance to do that, but I could do that well.
That's fine. Is this supported by the administration?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chairman.
And the commissioner?
Yes.
Of public safety?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Ray?
Maybe to alleviate Senator Sumner's problem there, because it's only in the Department of Public Safety for a caretaker position, and you have full protection. You have three members of the House, three members of the Senate, and four residents of the state at large. So I don't believe it.
I think it'd be a positive. It sounds like it might be a positive thing.
Right. Really.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Petula.
I know you probably hold this for day, but we found in the past many times the departments didn't cooperate because they had turf problems. If it's under the governor, and it's recognized that he does cross departmental lines, turf between departments and commissionerships and so on. That's the reason it's in there, really. And the governor hates to have more things in, but this is one which he's in support of.
Very good. We'll hold it over. Senate Bill 509. Ferguson.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Bennett.
Will Senate Bill 377 be up again tomorrow morning?
377, yeah. Yeah. Senator Holmes, tomorrow morning? Special talk?
I'm not sure we're talking about the implications. I'll be for sure Monday, actually, since I'm not going to be here for now. Pardon me?
We can't handle the next stage.
I don't think the legislature swings on its bed, Mr. Chairman.
It's highway safety, it's all matters of safety swing on it.
Write that down, and we'll give you the reference.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ferguson.
If you look at the copy with yesterday's date on it, 325-80, mm-hmm. We've tried to make all the changes that were suggested yesterday, and hopefully we've accomplished that point. I'd like Mr. Brown and Nancy to further elaborate on the changes, and I think we're going to have to do it by page number, line number.
Go ahead, Mr. Brown.
We did not mark the changes on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Beginning on page 3, we took into consideration Senator Ray's request that the Deputy Commissioner be appointed by the Governor, and thus line 13 now reads that the Deputy Commissioner is appointed by the Governor. On page 4, line 4, section number 5, when requested, these agencies would provide technical consulting assistance to the executive, judicial, and legislative branches or to the university. So it's on request. On line 16, section 7, we have changed the words to executive agency.
What page? Agency. Line 16, section 7?
4.
Page
same
4.
Page.
Excuse me, I wasn't listening. Thank you.
So it reads now executive agencies, and that clarifies, I believe, that. We've moved section 14, which was on the previous page, to follow section 7, and that has become section 8. And we've added the words which emphasize competition and reliance on the private sector. That's lines 21 and 22 on page 4. Moving to page 9, the Division of Telecommunications Director will be appointed by the Commissioner, not the Deputy Commissioner. That's line 19. On line 23, we've added their state executive agencies. On page 10,
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kikula.
Will this department and its advisory board and everything be responsible to the Commissioner of Commerce and Economic Development? Is that going to be is there a key chain of command there? Is he
yes.
the boss? Is he the total boss
yes.
of this program?
Of the two divisions. The advisory board advises the...
I understand, but the Commissioner side. Will be running this. It's not just in there for convenience, then,
no.
but it's in there under him. All right,
correct.
Fine. I just want to be sure if that was correct.
And on page 10, Mr. Chairman, line 20, we have a new definition which defines executive agencies. And that means all departments, divisions, and offices in the executive branch of state government, but does not mean the University of Alaska. So that exclusively leaves the judicial and legislative branches also on their own. And I believe that is the extent of the changes.
What page is that, the last one?
And that was page 10, line 20.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Kikula.
Will the legislative branch be served by this department?
Mr.
Do you
Chairman,
anticipate it will be?
Only one requested.
I'm still curious why we don't provide for legislative participation in the advisory board, if in fact it may well be the service unit for the legislature to come. And I think both legislative and judicial branches, if they're going to be served by it, when all other users are participatory in advisory board, I'm not sure you want to ignore that possibility.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Ferguson?
I don't have an objection to that. I think the recommendation should be made by this committee. I have no suggestions in that area.
What page is that on?
Page 4, line 4.
Page 4. No, the committee.
I believe 8 or 9.
8.
Certainly, at a minimum, ought to be one of the judicial and legislative branches if, in fact, we're following the theory of user
Chairman.
Agencies advisory.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Ferguson?
I'd suggest that we have, if we're going to have legislative members on this, that we have one from the House and one from the Senate appointed by the Speaker and appointed by the President, and the judicial. Probably appointed by Chief Justice.
I move that amendment to add objection to that.
There's a motion. There's an objection. Senator Wright.
On page 8, on line 17, you've got two members appointed by the Board of Regents. I don't know why you should have two members appointed by the Board of Regents on this board.
Well, amend it to one then.
Why would they have it? They aren't under it anymore.
I think he's objecting to the wrong thing now. What was your amendment?
One people each from the House.
Yes.
And it's
one
from the
Board
of Justice.
What I'm getting at is not to increase the membership of the board, but to put the two members in on line 17, subsection 2.
Is that
an
amendment you're making?
Yes, sir.
Line 17 through 19. Is there an objection? Without objection, they're gone. And now we're back on the amendment. Is there an objection to the amendment? The two legislators plus the justice. We'll write it up in the right way. Without objection, that's included. Who was talking last computer? Senator Ferguson, did you have anything further?
I do not, Mr. Chairman.
Questions from the committee? Desire of the committee.
Mr. Chairman, did you have an amendment or anything else that was offered if you put them all in that? I'm Stanton, or Sullivan, or something. You had an amendment to offer.
What was that?
I understood talking to Mayor Sullivan this morning that there was one more amendment that kind of he talked to you about, or somebody talked to you about.
The amendment, I think, would be page 4, line 21. If I'm correct, that's the only thing that was emphasized
okay.
to me.
All right. We would ask you to move the call out individual recommendation.
Without objection.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, without objection, we have 377.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, this is
very good.
Typed up.
Yes.
Deals with
on
page two, there's no reference to it on the fact sheet on page two. The language, line 5 through 14.
5 through 14.
And
page 6.
And insert the new language, which would read, for 3, 6 members from the legislature, at least one from each house. It should be a semicolon. 4, we carry the language that we have in 5. 4 residents from the state selected by the governor based on geographic representation and population distribution. And sub 6.
Sub 6?
Sub C, rather, excuse me. I just added the new language, except for legislators. That means that the legislative representation in this commission is at the pleasure of the presiding officer to make the appointments and not the governor.
Well, that's present language.
Well, the present language puts all membership on that commission as serving at the pleasure of the governor.
Well, members of the Transportation Safety Commission, other than legislators, serve at the pleasure of the governor.
I've read line 11 to mean members of the Highway Safety Commission serve at the pleasure of the governor, which would give the governor the authority to.
They forgot, they didn't put the amendment in that was discussing judiciary. We said non-legislative members. Because I made that amendment myself, apparently they forgot to put that in.
Well, does this new language take care of that, or should it be reworked? Except the legislators and the governor.
No, that's right. Then you have to get the appointment. Okay, you have an appointment.
Am I reading the wrong bill?
Which number is that?
229-80.
Well, I'm working from a different. I'm just looking for the other bill.
Did you see any substitute?
Yeah. Well, I'm working.
Oh, I did change it then, except legislators, yeah. I know we discussed that in judiciary specifically.
And we got to put it in the title.
Okay, then, Mr. Chairman, my amendment should be just the new sub 3, and the other language could be deleted from the amendment. I was working through the original bill as opposed to the committee substitute, which came out of judiciary.
Okay, there's a motion to include 6 members from the legislature, at least one from each house.
I think the motion is to delete sections 3 and 4.
Right.
And put a new section 3 in and renumber sections accordingly.
Is there an objection?
Do you have a motion to move it up?
Senator Bennett?
I'll make a motion, Mr. Chairman, to move the bill out of individual recommendations.
Ask consent.
Is there an objection? No objection. Okay, tomorrow morning we've got the bond, the whole question of bonds, which is probably going to take about an hour and a half.
This is, what's that?
I think as the committee knows.
Thank you.
You hit the wrong one.
A continuation of previous meetings and meetings with the budget and audit. So if anybody has any question about bond statuses, we should be able to find out tomorrow. specifically what those comments are. Was there anything else, George, that you asked for to come in with?
No, but this is all to give us an update on where the program will be.
That's telecommunications.
Yeah. Jesus, would that done fast. Any other bills? Any other business? Okay.
It's one matter of budget.
8:34. I think most of you have seen the committee substitute for House Bill 60 that came over from the House.
Mr. Chairman, we're going to take that up.
I'd say work individually. To see Thursday, tomorrow's Thursday, Friday. We'll try to take it up Monday. I'm going to have it in the probably won't get done until Tuesday. I'm sure it'll help.
Did you make the assignment of, my understanding, you just assigned the HB 60 to home in the room?
So
the
no,
I didn't hear that one.
Everyone was leaving for the weekend, and So I took the brogue and said, I'm the only one here.
What a night.
Okay.
You can all leave, but do not
proceed.